Howdy.
Howdy.
How are y'all? Good. I'm glad to be here. That's good. We're all glad to be here. I hope I don't offend anyone by not having my jacket on. It's a lot more comfortable this way, but if anybody needs a jacket, I'll let you have it. Because it's plenty warm up here. I think my blood pressure must be up a little bit or something. And I won't detain you too much tonight. Probably 10, 15 minutes we'd be able to go home. Then we'll all be able to be comfortable again. But when I was trying to come up with something to talk about today, I told Alvin, I was just beating myself up trying to find something to talk about. So just listen closely while I read and gather what you can, because I'm not going to talk much about it. Down in the car, and I'm not going after him, so I'll have to pick my books up and read. Of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, and we all know who that is, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, God worship him. Now this is telling you that God has a lot of responsibility he's going to share with his son, and he wants everybody to know that, and he wants everybody to know how important his son is to him. And if he's that important to God, he's a whole lot more important to us, because it means our life and our soul. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, and of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angel spirit and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hast hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hath laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies my footstool? There was only one. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Yes, they are. The angels were the messenger. In the ninth verse, it says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. It sounds like a good kind of objective for everyone. And the 12th verse, it says, that thou art the same. We are the ones that change, you and I. God and his Son does not change in our lifetime. We will be confronted with many things that can have a major effect on our lives. Reading and studying the scriptures will give us the kind of roadmap we need to follow. But we have to do that. It's not going to jump out at you. There's not going to be somebody come up and present it to you and lay it in your hand. It's a responsibility we all have. We have to read the scriptures. We have to find out what's expected of us. Chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and with gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifying, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou shalt put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with the glory of honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's for everybody in here and everybody out there. He suffered the death. He gave his life. Why? For us. That we might be able to spend an eternity with him. That's pretty considerate. Now, where did I leave off? For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through the suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and he that, For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who fear through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And that's us again. Excuse me. Got a little touch of the spring drips. God has laid a very profound foundation for all mankind. Just to read it makes you feel his wisdom. Doesn't it sound like he's given much thought and care to the future for you and I? It does me. We're all part of this future that he's talking about. What we do with our lives while we're here on this earth can make him decide what's next for us. During our lives, we can do many things besides fumble with papers, which have an extreme effect on the outcome of where we spend our life in the hereafter. Our own humanness has a tendency, to let us drift off into the trouble zones because of some unreasonable excuses we create in our own minds when we attempt to convince ourselves. That's all right. But sometimes when we're doing that, if we can catch ourselves, if we can stop and think, what other spirit is there around that's going to have you come up with these crazy thoughts and try to lead you away? Wouldn't that be the spirit of Satan? Be my first guess. So that's the guy you got to be cautious of. You got the good guys over here on this side. They're right here rooting for you. And then you got this other guy and his team over here that's trying to pull you away from these guys over here. And you can't let them do that. But it happens. You look around you in the world. Look at the people out there that you talk to every day, that you see, read about in the paper, that you read in books about, or if you happen to turn on the television, that you see on television. People that are being led astray or have been led astray, and they're doing their best to try to lead more people astray. That really upsets me. But we can overcome that. And we can overcome that with our faith in God and with our trust in God. Let's see. I don't know if I said this other part or not. Perhaps what we should be doing is working in earnest to reassure ourselves that we're doing that what we're doing is good and acceptable to God. I want to go over to Isaiah in the 40th chapter. And we'll start with the first verse again. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight the desert, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice saith, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flowers of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now there's something for you to hang on to. The word of our God shall stand forever. When you get in a weak moment, or you find yourself in a position where you need some additional strength, just think about that. Because God's always out there ready to listen. And he'll answer a whole lot of what you ask him to help you with. He just can't be bashful. Because he likes people. He likes everybody. He likes everybody in the world. That's why he created this world and all the people that was in it. But there are so many of the people that are in the world that have an impure heart. They don't want to see what God has to offer. I can think back about the Old Testament, all of the history that's in the Old Testament, and all of the history that's in the Book of Mormon, and all of the thousands and thousands, millions of people that have died fighting against what God wants to give us, and have died for nothing. When they could have had their souls saved and they could have been with the Lord. Now, all I'm saying, just a word of caution. Let's see what this guy wrote for me here. It says, here the prophet sees a day of salvation yet in the future, much like it is for us today. According to the footnotes in my Bible, comfort ye means both repent and console. It implies that true repentance must precede divine conciliation or comfort. This is the third verse is talking about John, of course. You've all heard that. It's a very familiar quote that we hear mentioned quite often from the scriptures. In the 8th verse it says, but the word of God shall stand forever. This is very true, and it's something we can always count on. It's something you can always count on. I want to go to page 774 in the Book of Mormon, 10th chapter of Moroni. I got a few more verses to read in this one, but this tells a real good story that kind of ties together everything that I've mentioned so far. It says, and it starts out with Moroni. It says, "Now I, Moroni, write somewhat as seemed me good, and I write unto my brethren the Lamanites, and I would that they should know that more than 420 years have passed away since the sign was given of the coming of Christ." So this was early on when the world was created, just 420 years. "And I seal up these records after I have spoken a few words by the way of exhortation unto you. Behold, I would exhort you that when you shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that you should read them, that you would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam even down until the time that ye shall receive these things, and ponder it in your heart." That's quite a while. "And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true." There's your chance. Take a look and see what you can find that might not be true. I don't think you'll find anything. "And if you shall ask with a sincere heart," excuse me, "with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things. And whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. And you may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God, for he worketh by power, according to the faith of the children of men, the same today and tomorrow and forever. And again, I would exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gift of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God who worketh all in all, and they are given by the manifestation of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. For behold, to one is given the Spirit of God, that he may teach the word of wisdom, and to another, that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another, exceeding great faith, and to another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. And again to another, that he may work mighty miracles. And again to another, that he may prophesy concerning all these things. And again to another, the beholding of angels and ministering spirits. And again to another, all kinds of tongues. And again to another, the interpretation of language and of all diverse kinds of tongues. And all these gifts are come by the Spirit of Christ. And he come unto every man severally according as he will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that every good gift cometh from Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men." And brother, there's an awful lot of unbelief out there in this world. I wish we could wipe it all out, bring the people's hearts back in, draw them in where they belong, so they let them see what God can do. Let them feel the Spirit of Christ. Where did I stop? 15? Did I read 15? Ready for 15. "Wherefore, there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity, and except you have charity, you can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Our brother Leslie said something about charity in his sermon this morning. Charity is pretty necessary. If you don't have charity, you have nothing. Neither can you be saved in the kingdom of God if you have not faith. Neither can ye if you have no hope. And if you have no hope, you must needs be in despair. And despair cometh by because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto his fathers, if you have faith, you can do all things. I'm going to read that again. If you have faith, you can do all things which are expedient unto men, unto me. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh, that the power and the gift of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men, if this be the case. For there shall be none that doeth good among you, no, not one. For if there be one among you that doeth good, he shall work by the power and the gift of God. And woe unto them who shall do these things away and die. For they die in their sins, and they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And I speak it according to the words of Christ, and I lie not. And I exhort you to remember these things, for the time speedily cometh, that ye shall know that I lie not, for ye shall see me at the bar of God. And the Lord God will say unto you, did I not declare my words unto you, which were written by this man, like as one crying from the dead? Yea, even as one speaking out of the dust, I declare these things unto the fulfilling of the prophecies. And behold, they shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the everlasting God, and his word shall hiss forth from the generation to generation, and God shall show unto you that which I have written is true. And I believe that. I believe every word of it. See, it's a lot easier to listen to me read that stuff out of the books where it's written real good than it is to listen to me try to explain to you what the book is saying. The Book of Mormon explains things like no other can. It's clear, concise, and to the point. This is one thing I like best about the Book of Mormon. When you hear these words, please take them to heart. Keep them in your mind. Plan your life around them. God will show us a way if we will only follow the plan he's developed for us. Now I want to close with reading a part of an item which I clipped from a newspaper a few years ago. This was written by Paul Loney. It's very short. No one owns his own life. Everyone, no matter how insignificant, has an effect on someone else. Just as a stone sends out ripples when cast into the water. So what we do has an effect on everybody that sees it or hears it. Now, do we need to be cautious in what we're saying? Do we need to make sure we're saying things properly? Do we need to be sure we're doing the right thing? Or do we just go wild? I think it behooves us to do and say the right thing. We need to impress people. If somebody's going to see me do something, and somebody can come back later, and this happens, somebody can come back years later and say, well, I've seen you do this, then you want to make sure that what this was correct. And I go back to my Boy Scouting years when I did this. It's an example. It wasn't anything gospel or spiritual, but it happened. And this is the way people's minds work. We had a Boy Scout troop here one time, not too long ago. And I was a scoutmaster. And we went on an overnight. And there was one of the scouts that he thought he was just there to have fun, play, and stuff like that. Well, we were. We were all there to have fun. And that's what I intended everybody should do. That's why I went. I like to have fun, too. But come time for supper, and everybody wanted to eat. And, of course, They had to all bring unprepared food. So the challenge before them all was to fix their own supper. I helped them all. I helped them all do it. And I had this one scout that didn't really want to do too much. And I showed him how he was going to have to do it, and he did it. He didn't like it, but he did it. And before I left to go to New Jersey, this same scout had an opportunity to explain to another young man that was going to become a scout, that was going to go on an overnight with us, that he would have to cook his own food. And then he says, and you're going to have to eat it too. So that's what we have to do. We have to make sure what we're saying is right, because somebody will come back and say, yeah. And this person, by the way, said, and Warren Johnson said that. So he said it, I said it, and I'll stand by it. You can't live too long without eating. Well, you can't live too long without having your soul nourished and getting a little nourishment from God. And there's only one person can help that all happen. And that's not me. That's you. You folks have a good evening.
Thank you, Warren. Monday night is a study class at 7, and as we always do, we invite the speakers from Sunday to come and be there if they can make it. So that goes for Leslie and you too, if you'd like to come tomorrow night. Sometimes they ask you questions and sometimes they don't. Prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. Friday is a graduation open house for Tabitha Grimm. It's at Tabitha's home in Oak Grove, and the address is there. It's at 7 p.m. Saturday, the YPCO will have a softball game at McCoy Park here in Independence. That's at 3:30 p.m. There are a number of people we should probably remember in our prayers. You've probably all seen on the email about David Larson. He's, what is he, 18 months old?
6 weeks.
Oh, okay. Well, he apparently has been raised home from the hospital, and really, I think the family has seen a miracle in this little guy. And we ought to praise our Lord. Yeah, he had pneumonia and he doesn't now. And they said in the email I saw tonight that the doctors are confused because the tests were all positive. They knew he had it, but he doesn't now. And that's less than 24 hours. But he and the family need our prayers. Also, we have a sister, Bush, from Tennessee that needs our prayers. She is in a bad way in intensive care down there. And some of you may have read the note there where Roger and Martha were able to see her. We also should remember Joyce and also Dan for up-and-coming surgeries. Joyce's will be tomorrow, and Dan's will be May the 23rd. Let me see. We have a number of our missionaries who have already left for their mission fields, and there are more are going. We should remember them and their travels to the third world countries. It's not getting any safer out there. So please remember those, especially the ones going to the Congo and those in the Philippines. We're going to close tonight with hymn number 131, The Voice of Jesus Calling.
Thank you.
Let us pray.
Our righteous Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this beautiful day, another day of life, another day to serve you. We ask that the things that we have done or said this day might reflect you. We thank you, Lord, for being there, that your promise is sure and true, for your gospel, and especially for your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would go with us as we leave this place, to go to our homes, to address our work or school or play this coming week, that we might have your Holy Spirit to be with and direct us, that you would go with others that are traveling in the mission field. Let thy Spirit go before them, that they might be successful, that people might hear the word of God. O Lord, we give you our praise and thanksgiving, and we do so in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our righteous Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this beautiful day, another day of life, another day to serve you. We ask that the things that we have done or said this day might reflect you. We thank you, Lord, for being there, that your promise is sure and true, for your gospel, and especially for your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would go with us as we leave this place, to go to our homes, to address our work or school or play this coming week, that we might have your Holy Spirit to be with and direct us, that you would go with others that are traveling in the mission field. Let thy Spirit go before them, that they might be successful, that people might hear the word of God. O Lord, we give you our praise and thanksgiving, and we do so in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.